Now, as you find your seat, find your Bible, and go to the book of Ephesians, and we're going to look quickly tonight at four purposes of the church. And when we're going to pray for leaders, and we're going to pray for our church. We have a brief business, our quarterly business session. We're going to talk about that for a few minutes. We got one item to bring you that'll take about 3 minutes, and we'll get all of that done tonight. But it's important time we come together and talk about transfer, new members and old members and that kind of stuff. But what are the four purposes of the church? Ephesians helps us with that, and I want to jump right into them, give them to you tonight, and then I want us to spend a little while praying over the church and praying over pastors and others that need to be prayed for tonight. So let's look at the church. The word church is an interesting word in the Greek New Testament. Ecclesia, that we see it, those that are called out. We're going to see that right here in Ephesians. We've been called out of darkness, and so when we're called out to be God's people, we gather together. Now, let's think about the church. This is the Lord's Day, so let's just think about Sunday. The church is gathered all over the planet today. Okay? Amen. Now, over where we travel to, Stan's in Moldova just a few days ago. Some of those folks didn't meet in a cathedral today, did they, Stan? Boy, came from some tough, tough places. There's some folks met under shade trees today around the world. There are people that met in beautiful buildings. Make this look like a cucumber, look like a keeper's hut in a cucumber patch, as Isaiah calls it. All right? It is a beautiful place. These palatial places around the world. Then there are other little white frame buildings. And then mostly across our country, there are just small churches that dot the landscape. They're in cities, hamlets, villages, huge cities, suburbs. They're just that. And people gathered in all sizes of ecclesia today. The church. It just looks it's all different. But it all is the same because we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And so the people of God, what is the purpose of the gathered people of God? Ephesians looks into this because he talks about the church a lot in the book of Ephesians, Paul does. Let's leave four things very quickly here tonight. Number one, the first purpose that I would share with you is found in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and that is to show forth Christ's fullness, to show forth Christ's fullness. So look in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, where Paul says these words. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The church is a miniature of Christ. It is the fullness. As Christ is the head, then we are the body. In Ephesians 3 and verse 19, you read these words. To know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Filled up to all the fullness. Look in chapter 4 and verse number 10. He who descended is himself. He who also ascended far above the heavens so that he might fill up all things. The first purpose is to show forth Christ's fullness, that the fullness of Christ is in us. Now, the sad part is there are a lot of churches tonight where it's not Christ's fullness, it's the fullness of the flesh. Now, don't forget this. This is not your church. This is not my church. Amen. You got to be the head for it to be yours. And you're not the head. You're another part, but you're not the head. He said, we got hands and feet and legs and eyes, and it takes all the parts to make the church. Somebody told me this week that there's only 7 or 8 really nasty people in the church, but they move around a lot. And they seem to show up, you know. Friend, it's not yours. It's His. And the church is to show forth not our fullness, but Christ's fullness. Brother Fred, that's you sitting over there. You know, the other night we went to Panama City. And we went in Liz's car because we'd had that problem with the tire and all that. So I drove over, as I normally do when I go preach, and then I have somebody with me and they drive back. If you ever go somewhere and you take Fred with you, he's an excellent driver, pays attention to where you're going, but Brother Fred's a little ADD. That's attention deficit. Do you know when I got home, do you know how much gas we had when I got home? You're clueless, aren't you? My wife sent me to the gas station that night to put gas in it. It's a wonder we didn't run out of gas. And neither one of us, because I was asleep, and Fred never looked at the gauge. It was laying over there at E-flat minus 42. I'm telling you, we was running on fumes, Brother Fred. I know a lot of churches running on empty, don't you? Because the flesh is what they're about. Friend, we don't run on our own strength. We are to show forth the fullness of the head. We're to be full of Jesus. The purpose of the church is to show forth Christ's fullness. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Number two, we are to show forth Christ's unity. Ephesians 2, verses 14 through 19. Look at this. Ephesians 2, 14. For he, that is Christ himself, is our peace, who made both groups. We got to answer the question, what are the groups? He made both groups into one, and he broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two, what are the two? Into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both, who are those two, in one body in God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both, there's two again, who is that? That we have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. The first thing we do is show the fullness of Jesus. The second thing the church is to do is not to be divided, it's to be unified. Now, here he's talking about two groups, two people in the first century in Ephesus. They were the people that believed Jew and Gentile in circumcision, non-circumcision. That you could be saved, but you had to be circumcised like a Jew. And another group that said, no, you could be saved, and you didn't have to have physical circumcision, because he deals with that in verses 11, 12, and 13. But Christ is our peace. He's brought both of these groups together. He's put us together, the Jew and the Gentile, the circumcised and non-circumcised, and he made one out of them. And the church today is to show love, kindness, cooperation between the genders, between the races, and between the nationalities. You see, Jesus tears down divisions, and he brings unity in the body of Christ. Now, you think about all those churches that met all the way around the globe today. Friend, they don't all look like us. As a matter of fact, when you get to heaven, there's going to be more people that don't look like us than do look like us. Because there's more folks that don't look like us than are look like us. The church is going to be real brown when you get to heaven. It is. Now, people like me, I'll be a superstar with this red hair. I mean, I will just absolutely stand out like a rock star. Everything will be so brown and dark. Amen. They'll probably make me run fetch stuff. That's what that'll be happening. I'm just simply telling you that the church doesn't just look like us. What Jesus is, he brings us all together. The genders, male and female. He brings every race, every nationality, he brings us together. I'm always encouraged when I drive up on Sunday afternoon because the Russian church that meets here is getting out when I'm coming in. It always shocks people when I speak about a Russian congregation in Pensacola, Florida. It shocks me. You just don't think, Pensacola, Russians. Do you? I mean, you really don't. But that group of people that have moved here from Kazakhstan and Moscow and Russia, and then came many of them from the Washington state area and wound up moving here and have become our friends, and they have a great core group. As a matter of fact, the people that meet over there on Sunday afternoon, there's as many of them, they would be the size of the average Southern Baptist church that met across America today. And when I got out today, the Russian pastor, who speaks very little English, when I got out of my car, he was standing there, and he just happened to be standing there, and he stopped, and he clicked his heels like a soldier and saluted, and I came in. Pastor, welcome, welcome. Glad you're here. Hugged my neck. God makes us one. He unifies us. Even when we don't have the same language, he makes us one. Well, here he's brought the Jew and Gentile together, those that argued over circumcision, and made them one. Don't miss it. The purpose of the church, show forth Christ's fullness. Number two is to show forth Christ's unity. Number three, it is to show forth Christ's wisdom. Wisdom. Look at it in Ephesians 3, 9, 10, and 11. In the third chapter, 9, 10, and 11, Paul says, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mysterion, of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. So that the manifold, here it is, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. And this is in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus supernaturally opens our eyes to the truth. And he shows in that the difference between eternal wisdom and temporal foolishness. Now hear me again. Jesus supernaturally opens the windows of our heart and of our eyes to show us the difference in eternal wisdom and temporal foolishness. Many a church today is running on temporal foolishness rather than on eternal wisdom. The church is to show forth Christ's wisdom. There's a different philosophy, a different game plan, a different thought process. The way he just, it's backwards. But the truth of God often is just, if you want to have and receive, if you want to have, what do? You give it away. That doesn't make any sense, does it? If you want to have, you give. It's just what the Word of God says. Jesus taught us that. If you want to be first in line, what do? You go to the back end. I never do that. You ever fly Southwest? They line you up. A, B, C, D. And there's 1 through 60, and A, 1 through 60, and B, 1 through 60, and C. And you get on, you get any seat you want. They don't sign you a seat. So the farther you are at the front of the line, better off you are as far as getting a seat. But in God's economy, D60 is seat number one. You don't get to put your bag up. You got to check it. You're going to get a center seat between two big people. Okay? It just is. If you want to be first, you be last. If you won't have, you give away. Friend, if we ever grab hold of seeing the eternal truths against temporal foolishness, we'll show forth the wisdom of God. Mm-hmm. There's also a place in here for saving, for having a great financial plan. But you got to be a generous people. There's also a place to put back and prepare and plan. Well, if you just get in this book, you will find in the church it is to run on eternal truth. And the church should show forth wisdom. Too many times we see foolishness in the church. And the community sees us as foolish people, the way we take care of our affairs. And we need to have this eternal wisdom. And that's what the church is to show forth in the community. Number one, we show forth Christ's fullness. Number two, we show forth Christ's unity. Number three, we show forth Christ's wisdom. And number four, the purpose of the church is to show forth Christ's glory, His glory. Chapter 3 and verse 21. To Him be the, say it out loud, glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. To Him, that is to God the Father, be doxa, glory, in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations. Now the question is, how does He get glory in the church? His glory in music. We lift Him up. Amen. When we pray, we had four men pray here a while ago. We should give Him glory when we pray, shouldn't we? We don't pray to ourselves. Lord, thank You for what we've done. No. We petition Him. We thank Him for what He's done. We give Him glory. Well, when somebody comes and is saved in a service, who gets the glory for that? God does, the Savior. When somebody's baptized and they've taken their stand for Christ, who should get the glory? God should get the glory. He changed the person's life. You see a great victory in the church of restoration, of people being put together. Who gets the glory? God gets the glory for that. Let there be glory. And the church should show forth Christ. We should glorify. It should be all about Him. That's what the church is here for. We lift Him up. We glorify Him. Lift Him up. I encouraged you to read a book many months ago. Now it's called The Invested Life. If you've not read Rosenberg's and Koshy's book, The Invested Life, I challenge you to get this book and read it. It's a great book on making disciples. You're going to hear more and more about this coming out of our Vision 25 team. And one of the big things you're going to be hearing about is that we've got to be a better disciple-making church than we've been in days gone by. We've got to be better and more strategic and pointed and better at making those disciples. In this book, Rosenberg talks about the local church. And let me just... I'm just going to read to you, insult your intelligence for a few minutes, okay? The local church should be global-minded, deeply committed to obeying the great commandments and fulfilling the great commission by preaching the gospel and making disciples of all the nations. We all agree with that. Number two, the local church should be multicultural, welcoming people of different races and ethnicities. You can say amen anywhere you want to. The local church should have strong, mature believers who exercise their spiritual gifts to build up the body of believers. The local church should have leaders of various backgrounds, racially, ethnic, and cultural. The local church should do everything with one accord in mind and in purpose. The local church should be led by the Holy Spirit. The local church should be a worshiping church, practicing corporate worship. Amen. Don't you hate dead church? We had pretty good church this morning, Brother John. That's good, wasn't it? And we had new songs and old songs. We had old singers and young singers. We had old preachers and no other kind. Well, we only had one, so I mean, you know, that's it. The local church should demonstrate the grace of God in practical ways. Now listen to this again. The local church should demonstrate the grace of God in practical ways. Showing grace. Mm-hmm. The local church should be a caring and compassionate church. You know, y'all care for people. The local church should send out mighty missionaries like Paul and Barnabas, said Rosenberg. It ought to be a sending church. Aren't you glad this morning to see a young deacon come up and say, God's called me to ministry and I'm ready to go. Ready to go. David King, yeah, sending out. For those of you in early church, David and I just got our wires crossed. He was not at the hospital with his wife having a baby. He was here in the second service and she was here. Yeah, amen. Tomorrow, they're inducing labor. Going to have that baby tomorrow. Yeah, amen. And lastly, he said the local church should be a praying, fasting church that continuously seeks and does the will of God. A praying church. So I want us to pray for a minute. And for a few minutes. And here's how I want us to pray. I want us to pray for pastors. I've just had this on my heart because of this message out of Ephesians. To pray for pastors. So, and I really don't know how to do this. Because there's so many that we could pray for. But I've prayed for four that I had on my mind. And I pray for those four guys in my prayer book. I write their names down. But I want you to pray tonight, and I'm going to name two or three, and then I'm going to ask you just with a friend, I want you to pray for a preacher you'd know, okay? Joey Rogers, my good buddy over at Pace Assembly of God, I want you to pray for Joey, okay? Dr. Horton down at Brownsville Assembly of God, become a good friend, and I'd like you to pray for Evan, E-V-O-N, Evan Horton is my friend there. I'd like you to pray for a young preacher named Keith. Keith, I'm not going to tell you any more about him. I've walked through a tragedy with him this weekend. He's a young preacher in another state. And I got word that there was a real crisis there. And about 15 years ago, I made a major twist in my life. Anytime 15 years ago, if I heard a pastor had a moral failure or some difficulty, I just said, okay, Lord, we're going to pray for him, but we'll leave that alone. Now I don't do that anymore. Now I pick up the phone, I call, I hear you messed up. How can I help you? So I did that with Keith. He said, well, number one, I didn't do it. He said, the rumors are all out everywhere that it happened, but he said, I'm telling you, preacher, I'm clean. I said, praise the Lord. But the same rumor I heard, his church heard. And so they walked, and they were very compassionate and gracious. I called him this afternoon, just check on him. I want you to pray for Keith. Okay, we should pray for Keith. You need to pray for preachers. You can throw my name in there and pray for Pat. But there'll be others, and we don't have to name them all, but those are just two or three. What I'd like you to do is just turn to a friend and take just a brief moment. I want you to pray for a preacher tonight, okay? He said, well, I don't know anybody but you. Well, start right there. That's okay, all right? Maybe it's the only church you've been a part of, but there may be other churches that you know about, and they don't have to be in trouble. As a matter of fact, you pray for people that are doing well and just say, oh, God, put favor on them that they would just take off and be there. Pray for the pastor over at Campus Church here in our city and that God to do a great work, all those students that are over there. Okay, so there's just people to pray for. So I want you to turn to somebody, and we're entering business meeting now because this is the greatest business we do right here. Right. And so I want you to pray, all right? Charlie, turn around there, little laddie, and y'all find a buddy and do that. All right? Good, good, good. John, I'm going to come pray with you and your wife now. Is that all right? Amen. Good. Y'all pray, and then I'm going to send John up to play the piano.